Hey girl, hey, and thanks for dropping into the Switch Pivot Quit podcast. Candid convo for the girl needing a lifestyle plot twist when she's deciding if it's time to switch, pivot, or quit. I'm Ayana Angel, and I am your host as well as chief encourager and author. In order for you to hang out with us in this awesome space, all that's required for you to do is sit back, open your mind, and enjoy the show. Today, we're going to chat about the new Centric TV show, Queen Boss. So I finally got a chance to catch up with Queen Boss. It is a show that is new, and the first episode aired on Sunday, I think it was. It aired on Saturday. I didn't catch it on Saturday. Note to Centric, I don't know if you think your audience is sitting at home on Saturdays, but if you think that they are and they are not, you might want to go ahead and offer that bad boy on demand. I found out quickly that it wasn't on demand, so I had to catch it on the re-air, but I did, and I wanted to chat with you guys about it because I couldn't miss this show, as it seemed to be very of the moment right now for what's buzzing and going on in our world. This show, just a quick overview of what the show is about, Queen Boss. It takes 18 women. It's through the course of 6 episodes. Three different women entrepreneurs are featured every episode. The ultimate winner has a chance to walk away with $25,000. And you know what? I don't know if I missed this or if this is not a part of the show, but they definitely should add a mentorship component that the winner would actually receive. That'd be dope. So note to Centric for next season, because let's go ahead and speak it into existence that they will have another season, because ultimately this is good programming. I really did enjoy the show. So I'm going to go through my takeaways from the show and my notes from the show, what I thought. And to start with, let's just say that I love that the show shows what women are out there creating, doing, owning. In a way, it sort of co-signs the work and the effort that so many of us are putting out into this world. Someone, Centric TV and the production, had the idea and thought enough of this storyline for women of color and their entrepreneurial endeavors and their experiences to create a show around it. So to me, that says a lot, and cheers to that. You can tell that by the end of this show, this will be a growth experience for all of the women entrepreneurs, and probably even for the judges as well. I don't know what the production was set up like, but anytime you have to go through an experience like this, what it seemed that they went through, you walk away learning some things. And if you don't, then you probably didn't need to be on the show to begin with. But it seems like from this first episode, it seems like they are taking a variety of women at a variety of points within their business. So let's talk about the first woman featured on this episode. First up is Lucinda Cross. She was the first one to present her business. I'm familiar with her via social media. She is the only one out of the three contestants that I was actually familiar with, but that says nothing. You know, people are making major moves and we have no clue who they are until they really blow up like Oprah style. So anyway, Lucinda has this vision board box that she wants to bring to the marketplace for everyone to be and make it accessible for everyone to be able to buy into this idea of creating a vision board through her box. So her box, when they asked her about retail, her box, she said that she thinks it can be, although she mentioned that she sold over 5,000, she said that she thinks the retail price point can be between $39 and $89. So I was a little confused if she was already selling these boxes, why the price point hadn't been narrowed down more, but I don't really know because they didn't ask her the reasoning behind that, but they definitely got into the price point. What I did like about her pitch was that she incorporated her actual product and her branding in the pitch. She used a vision board to illustrate her pitch points. So that was, I thought that was a really, really creative and good way to sort of like capture their attention. But, you know, they did bring up a good point. Why would I pay, you know, for items that I could have at home? So I think that's something that, you know, was interesting for her to think about if she really paid attention to their feedback. It's like, okay, you have to be able to answer those questions for your consumer and get it out of the way for them before they even have to ask that question. So she's planning on using the money to repackage and prepare her products for a scale, I'm guessing, since she's already selling them. So it's not like she's preparing to put them out on the marketplace initially. She's preparing for next level, I guess you could say. So there was that was Lucinda. And I loved her confidence as well. I think her confidence and her positive attitude really are going to carry her a long way in whatever she does. I think we can see that. It just jumps out from the screen. Next up is Sherita. Sherita had a women's wear line where it was a day to evening, a desk to dinner dress, and a bridal element as well. I really like the catchiness of the desk to dinner dress. I don't know if that's something that's already out there in the marketplace, but that seems like a great marketing tool for her. But Sherita talked about her dress line. They asked her about the price point, and guess what she said her price point was? Now, let me just paint this picture for you. Sherita's dresses look like you would wear it to work. You would wear it to work. There were solid colors, definitely a pop of color, a little zhuzh here, a little zhuzh there, but very simple in the sense that it wouldn't be too busy for you to wear to an office environment. So when asked about her price point, she said that the dresses could range, and this is a dress that she was wearing as an example. The dress she was wearing, she said this style could range from $150 to $450 retail. Whew, the judges did not like that, okay? Now, I didn't mention who the judges were, but the judges were Vanessa Simmons. And Vanessa Simmons, we all know her from the pastry days. Her work with her sister creating that company, which was very successful for them. But they ultimately ended up, I don't know if they sold it or they're just not doing it anymore, but that's Vanessa. Then we had Candy Burse, and we know Candy from most recently being on the Housewives of Atlanta. But she is also a businesswoman that we all know. She has her hand in multiple businesses, so she's well-versed in this business world. And the third judge is Lauren Lake, who we know as a lawyer. Apparently, she's a singer, a background singer as well. She dabbles in interior design. She's an author, and she just has a lot going on. So she is a businesswoman as well that really knows her stuff. And I think out of all the judges, she had the most hard-hitting questions. So getting back to the contestants, or the ones vying for the number one spot in this particular episode, as I mentioned, Sherita, she mentioned eventually that after being probed by Vanessa that her husband was deployed, and that she did end up saying that that takes a toll on her. It's hard, you know, but I really wish that she would have incorporated that early on in her story, because that is a part of her story. The fact that she's probably doing this out of a love, but also a necessity to do more for her family and to live out her dreams, you know? So Sherita was the woman with the dresses. And then last was Rahima. Rahima, she has what I would consider to be successful business on the rise already. Successful, you know, is relative, but it seems like she has already made some great headway within her business. Her packaging was great and already together. She has distribution in multiple stores, in multiple markets, multiple cities. Currently, I think she said she was in 150 stores. She sources her products directly from Ghana, from northern Ghana. She doesn't have a middleman, so you cut out that cost. And her product is It's a beauty line, but the base of it all is shea butter. So we know that there's a lot of competition out there with shea butter, but she pretty much addressed that right away. She let you know why her product was superior to the competition and in the marketplace. So I thought that that was key. And out of everyone who pitched their products or their business ideas, Rahima was definitely the strongest. She came in with the most clear, concise pitch. She knew her business. Her delivery was on point. You felt like she'd done this before. It was very serious. You could tell that she took this serious. She took her business serious. She knew her stuff. You felt confident for her. And one thing that I really liked about her that stood out was that she had this this very subtle confidence. It was like, she knew she was great at what she did. She knew that she was an awesome businesswoman, but she didn't need to brag about it and yell about it from the rooftops and convince you. She just let her work and her business acumen speak for itself. So I really enjoyed that about watching her. She was someone that people can look at as an example of how to be when you're trying to win people over in a situation like this. So back to my point, I think that the reason I really enjoyed this show was because it's timely right now. Entrepreneurship is all the rage right now, and Queen Boss allows women of color to see their peers in the raw, really, a portion of, you know, what the process takes, and it gives like a realistic perspective to those who are thinking of starting a business. Maybe you're working on a side hustle, or you're already in business, but reaching that point where you feel like you need to pitch investors. This is a great example of what that scenario could potentially look like, and how you need to be prepared and how you need to be ready for whatever is going to come your way. When you're coming into a pitch situation, you have to know your numbers, you have to know your market, you have to know your product. There's so much that you have to know. And watching these women go through this experience, we could see where some people can fall short, and we can see for ourselves as everyone watching who has big dreams and aspirations, whether it be entrepreneurial or not, how when you're put on the spot, you have to rise to the occasion. You have to be able to pass the test, because that's what you're preparing for in all of your days of working hard and studying, reading, and, you know, just trying to make sure you're well-versed in everything that you do. That's what you're working hard for, is for those moments where you're tested, really. Essentially, it's a game, and you have to be on point. You have to be able to play the game. You have to be able to score. You have to be able to deliver in the clutch. And that's definitely what I think Rahima was able to do. The ladies started off as three. They all gave their pitches individually, and then they had to sit for a panel, which the panelists ended up breaking it down to two people to move on to the next round, which was the business challenge round. And then from the business challenge, out of the two women, one woman would be selected to move on to the semifinals round, which is where, I guess, each episode, a semifinalist is going to be selected. And then those six women will compete at the end for the 25K. You know, before watching the show, I heard a lot of buzz about it being similar to, or the Black version of, or the Black woman's version of Shark Tank. And having watched Shark Tank multiple times, or watched a lot, it's a very intense show, and we all know that. And so when I watched this show, I really didn't get Shark Tank from it as much as I got, and I'm not trying to downplay the show in any way, because I know that these shows that I'm about to mention are about fashion, but I'm talking about the style and the way that things were put together. I got more America's Next Top Model from it, and maybe like Project Runway. But I definitely think that the producers went in and looked at shows like America's Next Top Model, Project Runway, and Shark Tank, and did a fusion of all of them, because there's elements of a lot of these shows in there that you can pick out, which makes it unique in its own way, which is great. So once the women went through all of their pitching, the judges finally had to decide on one woman to head into the semifinals round. And they all made really good points about why they really liked one woman and the other woman. They didn't really focus on what they disliked as much. They definitely went into what they liked and why they thought that this woman could potentially use the money, or why they thought her business pitch and her plan was on point. And spoiler alert, I'll tell you that the two women that actually made it to the business challenge round and had the option to be selected for the semifinal round, that was Lucinda Cross and Rahima Wright. Sharita with the dresses, she was eliminated, so she didn't have a chance to vie for the semifinal round. So between Lucinda and Rahima, they decided who was going to be the semifinalist. And one thing that I was thinking when they were deliberating is that a big point from their deliberation was, okay, Lucinda, she could really use the money. She needs to get her product off the ground. She's in an earlier stage than Rahima. Now, Rahima has already solidified some things. So she made it clear that she would use this money for growth. I like that. But because they're at two different places in their business, I wonder, you know, what is the criteria for the show? What is the show really ultimately trying to do? Because, not trying to be harsh, but when you look at it, you see someone like Rahima and you can tell that she has the potential to get that money and scale this business like immediately. Whereas Lucinda, she's saying that she has a product, but she hasn't quite figured out her price point, and she would use the money to repackage. So that's time and money spent on repackaging, which ultimately says, if I was an investor, it would say to me, not exactly ready yet. And then also preparing. She used the money for preparing. So when you're thinking about investment, and maybe this is an element that that they don't really have to touch on, because none of them are actually investing their money in these women. But if you're talking about like a Shark Tank situation, you know exactly who they'd go with. So I wonder how that plays into the decision making as to what woman deserves the money, because what is the ultimate goal for this woman to do with this money? You know, is it for her to really, select someone who can be just like a game changer and really win and really use this money to make their business just grow to the crazy next level? Or is it to fund someone's dream and, you know, make them happy for a year or two, but it might not, you know, do too much in the long term? I don't know. It's just a thought that I had. I really liked the show. I thought that it was good. Like I said, I felt like it pulled back the curtain, which is something that we need to see. We need to see the real of what's going on. We need to see what types of challenges women are facing when they are going into these pitch meetings and these situations like this. And one thing that I do think that a lot of us will probably take away from watching this is you have to be passionate about your product. You have to be passionate about your pitch, your business. And really, it seemed like the only one that was truly passionate was Lucinda. She was the one that was coming in there saying like, hey, I want your money. I need this money. Whereas the other ladies, they lacked a little bit of the passion, like that sort of like that I can't do anything if I don't have this money. I won't stop until I have this money. I'm going to give it my all. You're going to know me when I walk out of here. You're going to be in love with my product when I walk out of here. None of them really had that gritty, like, in your face approach about the fact that they really needed this money. Like, I didn't feel like for the other two ladies, it was a matter of life or death with this money. I'm being dramatic, obviously, but I didn't feel like it was like a life or death situation. And I'm like, if I'm on TV and I'm pitching my business and I have an opportunity to get $25K to further my business, it's life or death. is go for it. Like, if there's no other time, this is go time. So I hope to see a variety of different women pitching their businesses and their enthusiasm. And just I'm excited to see how it all takes shape and how it plays out, and to ultimately see who the winner is, because I think that's going to be the really exciting part, is to see who the winner is and follow their journey. Hopefully we get a chance to follow their journey and see how this makes an impact on their business. If you haven't already, you should definitely check out the new Centric television show, Queen Boss. It comes on Saturdays at 10 p.m. Tune in next week when we'll be talking about the article, Don't Be Stupid, Don't Quit Your Day Job, with Sable B, founder of Real Brown Girls. Thanks for hanging out with me, and as always, keep killing it.